So our next presentation is going to be made by Shengming Shao. He's at the University of Oklahoma and speaking on multi-scale measurements and modeling of greenhouse gas flux.
Yeah, good morning. And first of all, I'd like to thank you to Michael and Matt have very good talk about this greenhouse gas. You all provide the justification why we care about greenhouse gas. So within these 15 minutes, I'm going to more technical details to talk about the measurement and the modeling of greenhouse gas. So first of all, I'd like to acknowledge to several projects I have been involved who really help us to develop these very comprehensive measurement systems. The integrated measurement including on a ground basis the measurement from chamber, the eddy flux tower, so that mostly supported by USDA grant, also by the NSO EPSCO project. We also focus on the space-borne measurement of greenhouse gas. That's largely supported by NASA. With all these projects, we're able to build a comprehensive system for the measurement component. So in terms of the multi-scale measurement, the justification is pretty simple. It's a biogenic greenhouse gas emission are controlled by various factors. They are cross scales. So you can simply fall all the way from the microbial, the soil chambers, the ecosystem level, all the way to the planet. So they all operate on a different scale that then control the greenhouse gas measurement, also the emissions. Yeah. So with the support from USDA grant or NSF EPSCO project, we built a set of measurement system in Oklahoma. We have six integrated systems. We call it integrated grassland and cropland observation systems. And here I show you there's four study sites in the USDA grazing land lab space. So in this particular site, we have a system for native grassland that was never plowed for over 100 years. We also have this old world blue stand pasture land. Then we also have for winter wheat is a dominant system in Arkansas, Oklahoma. So we also have two winter systems that have a till practice or no-till practice. So at all these sites, we have a comprehensive measurement. Just like Michael talked about his UK sites, we do have a microbial measurement. We have a soil chamber with stationary. We also build a new facility for automated chamber measurement in the near future. And we also have eddy flux tower for CO2 and methane. There's quite a bit additional work for livestock by other animal scientists in that study site. We have campaign stuff. So it's very comprehensive trying to measure both the CO2, methane, and the N2O. So for my talk, I'm going to focus on the CO2 here. I know some of my colleagues will talk methane and N2O in their next presentations. So for the CO2 measurement, I just show you two graphs we recently come out from the study in 2015 and 16, trying to compare the native grassland versus winter wheat. We're really trying to answer the questions, the land use change from native grassland to the winter wheat. How much carbon are they going to storage are going to change by these different systems. So there's a winter wheat and also this grassland. You can see on the left side of the panel is the daily dynamics for the 2-year measurement. It's clear to show you how this net ecosystem change of CO2 and the differ between the grassland and also the winter wheat. We also partition the net ecosystem flux into the gross primary production and the ecosystem respiration. So that also gives you a very clear pattern between these two components. The other important thing in the eddy flux tower, we're also able to measure the evapotranspiration. So then we can tie it very closely between the carbon flux and the water flux. So that's very important for the dry land area. Yeah. On the right-hand side of the panel is on the monthly summary of the left side. We also give you further summary information to tell you the winter wheat has a different seasonal pattern, and also as from the native grassland. So if you calculate as a whole, the native grassland clearly is a carbon sink in these regions. Yeah. The other part I want to spend more of my time in is to go to the modeling side. We're really trying to see with such intensive measurement on multiple sites, how we can bring in the modeling, help us to scale up into regional scales. So the modeling part is a simple model, and it's a very complex models. So this is a diagram to show you one example in terms of carbon flux, like NEE. You can have a gross plant productions and the ecosystem respiration. We can very simply to group into four levels of complexity of models. On the right hand side is a very simple, the model is data driven models. On the left side is a very comprehensive process based on the modeling stuff. What I'm pointing here is in the reality we need both. We need both complex model, we also need simplified models. Yeah. This one I'm going to show you the simplified models, how that model show works, and also give you some show you some data products we produced from the simplified simplest models. So I'm going to take this productivity as one example, because the gross prime reduction is the foundation of net prime reduction, the biomass, or the grain yield. Those are all the input for livestock production systems. So for a simplified way, if you think the photosynthesis occur in the crop process level, our challenge is how to scale that crop process level information into leaf, canopy, and ecosystem all the way down to the planet scales. Yeah. So here's one set of the modeling work. It's like we call the production efficiency model, or maybe some people are very familiar called the light use efficiency models. In that model, you can also has several sort of practice. One practice on the left side is a focus on the canopy. The other set of modeling is a focus on the chlorophyll. So the chlorophyll, we all know, is very linked closely with the nitrogen cycles. So by focus on chlorophyll and the nitrogen, we are able to develop a model to predict the productivities. Yeah. So here's one model we've been working for this project. It's a satellite-driven model. It takes the satellite information, like a surface reflux data. We also take the climate data that we can predict the productivity and compare with the eddy flux tower system data. So here's just we apply this model into different locations, so we also evaluate the performance of the models. So this is one example we did in our El Reno sites. That was based on the field data collected in back in 2005 and 2006. That 2 years very accidentally have two construct ecosystem or climate times. 2006 is a very, very drought, and 2005 is a normal years. You can clearly see this on the right hand side of the panel. You can see on the dry year and the normal year, the model are able to capture pretty well of the seasonality of the vegetation productivities. So that give us the capacity to link the grass forage production into the animal feedlot stock. So the other part is we also want to apply the model to regional scale or also global scale. So the way to evaluate this model is beyond the eddy flux tower. We have a number of eddy flux tower, but we also need more larger scale verifications. The data to verify that one is what we call the solar-induced chlorophyll fluorescence data from space. Yeah. This is a very simple concept. I want to explain that to you is the sieve, the energy from the sieve is emitted by the plant. is a part of the light absorption by entire canopy in here. Yeah, it's the sieve has part of the light absorption energy component. So in the end, we can see very nice relationship between gross prime production and induced chlorophyll fluorescence. So in that way, it allow us to compare these two data sets and to evaluate the productivity model. So here's the one example of my graduate student. We recently published it last year, is we compare the modeling output with the solar-induced chlorophyll fluorescence for the North Americas. So I can just for help you to look at these graphics. You can see on the left side is the modeling GPP in different seasons from the winter, summer, this is spring, summer, fall, and the winter season. And on this panel here are the solar-induced chlorophyll fluorescence. So we really look at the spatial and the temporal consistency between the modeling and also the observation from the sieve one. And on this part of the panel, I will show you here, is we compare our model with the chlorophyll fluorescence data with other ecosystem biogeochemical models that are very popular and used in the IPCC climate assessment. So we can see there's quite a difference between the observation by chlorophyll fluorescence and also by different part of the models. So really want to say is there's large uncertainty in very different models for the carbon cycle modeling. Yeah. So this is another work we recently completed. We take the model all the way to the global scale. So on this, let's see this panel here, this is the global calculation of the GPP. And the right hand side is also this the sieve measurement. This is the bottom here, and also the different model comparison in the regions. Yeah. So in the, I like to report it to all of us here is, we develop a model, we also develop the data sets. So the data set is from 2000 to 2016. It's officially released to the public. So we just had a paper published, I think it's in as a scientific data journal. We released that data set. So the paper will come out actually tomorrow. Yeah. So this data set has a very large difference from other data sets. People are using it. We also have to show over the last 16 years, there's a continuous increase of global productivities in the systems. Yeah. In terms of what's next thing we do, I want to show a couple slides here. We are going to move from the productivity into the grain yield for the global analysis. So this will be one case study we're going to focus on. It's across the United States or for different crops. There. So because of the timing, I will not show some results maybe later. And the other part for the future work is this. This is a NASA geostationary carbon cycle observatory. By the year of 2021, we're going to put a geostationary satellite for North America. So we'll provide the continuous observation at a daily and sub-daily of CO2 methane and also solar-induced chlorophyll fluorescence. I think that's all my presentation. Thank you very much. And also welcome to University of Oklahoma. Yeah, thank you.